Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. If you have any suggestions for our trivia or our list segment that happened at the end of the show, you can holler at us on Twitter at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, at TSB Pod. Or you can just leave a comment on our Facebook post.
These hands, motherfucker, these hands, built this from the ground up with a foolproof plan. These hands. Motherfucker, these hands built this from the ground up with a foolproof plan. These hands. Motherfucker, these hands built this from the ground up with a foolproof plan. These hands. Motherfucker, these hands built this from the ground up with a foolproof plan.
Snapping, clapping, slapping, smacking. Wait till I get these hands in action. Unhand your girl, I hand you a napkin to wipe your tears.
I got my condom hat, and they're playing Man, You, or Man, I don't even know who they were playing.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to watch it. It's just fate. And then I was like, God damn it. I got to do all these errands. Well, there goes that. Come back 90 minutes later, watch the last 5 minutes of a 1-1 or 0-0 tie. And I was like, I just can't commit to this.
First of all, it's soccer, so it's nil-nil.
Nil-nil on the pitch. Yeah, yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
I have been watching a lot of Premier League highlights lately. We just started talking soccer because there aren't any other sports going on right now. So
it shouldn't take long to get through soccer highlights.
Yeah, no. They're like 13 minutes each, and that includes them talking
13.
Shut up. That includes them talking about the lineup, and there are like extended highlights, and so they show all the missed shots and stuff too. No, we were just watching Pulisic just work over a couple guys. Well, we were watching. I was watching the highlight of it, and so it got me thinking about it. And Ski and I were saying that's what happens when you go overseas. When you're a good player, you go overseas and train with actually good soccer players, and you end up actually being pretty good. It's pretty crazy. So he might actually be a good soccer player at some point.
Does that mean the U.S. men's team will like qualify?
No.
No? Okay. All right. All right.
They're going to be losing to Trinidad and Tobago.
Always Trinidad and Tobago.
And then if they actually get into the World Cup, it's Ghana every single time. So, got to hang to a business on your home turf, boys. And you ain't beating Mexico, not ever.
Hey, they beat them once, I think, right? Dos Acero. I believe that's a big soccer thing. They beat him down at Azteca Stadium, Dos Acero.
No, that sounds like a thing.
And I think Landon Donovan got urine bombed. I swear this is a soccer thing.
That does sound like a thing. If anybody were to get urine bombed, it would probably be Landon Donovan too.
You call that a win if you don't get like blasted with a flare. Get a rock thrown at you. That's a little urine bomb. That ain't going to hurt you.
Is this one of the sports where not having fans is my
a good thing?
Yeah.
Like I've said before, they had the most practice because a lot of those Euro squads played before no one because they're kind of racist.
Yeah, a little bit. And then the teams eventually have to like ban their fans for a little while because they're racist.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Soccer in Europe is just a place – the game is just a thing in the middle of a round, just racism. You go to the stadium just to do some racisms and maybe see a goal.
Yeah, you pay your $15. Maybe you watch a goal or two. You get to exercise your casual racism, whenever you want to whoever you want to. And
because it's not really racism if you're wearing a scarf.
Saturday afternoon, King. So
if you got a TIFO, it's not really racism.
Ooh, interesting. That especially for the your Timbers, right?
Oh, yeah, my Timbers. Diego Chara, baby.
Those Euro soccer matches, they're about 80% concert. I swear all you're doing, they're just chant, like doing little sing-song chants the entire game.
Mm-hmm. That sounds annoying. Go ahead.
The MLS, they do shit like that also, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Like Timber chants and
– Oh, my God.
The Timbers one is –
Timbers Army sings the whole game.
And it's super creative stuff like PT, FC, PT, FC. We got it. Really? Portland, really, soccer.
Oh, soccer.
The beautiful game.
Hey, my SC Braga got a win today, by the way. I'm nice. Sure. Yeah. Was waiting on that shout out. 3-2, no big deal.
Who had the big win in the Prem League today?
Liverpool won the Premier League for the first time in forever.
Yeah, I saw a Bleacher Report put together this like 3-minute video to celebrate it.
Yeah.
And it was like this dad taking a little kid. The kid gets taller. The dad gets shorter. The kid gets bigger. The dad gets older. The kid has a girlfriend. The dad dies.
Oh, boy.
The kid's girlfriend is now pregnant. Then the kid is taking the daughter to the game. And I'm like, wow, how long was this drought? Yeah. 30 years.
It's a long time.
A 30-year drought is not long enough to kill dad in an internet video.
Dad was probably old to begin with. It happens.
It looked that old. It looked that old, I'm going to be honest.
Well, that's about the lifespan of a fucking English soccer fan. I mean,
yes, man.
All those crazy gang, you know, their football gangs.
Hooligans?
The hooligans, yeah. You go down at any time dealing with those people.
Y'all watch that movie, Green Street Hooligans? Elijah Wood was in it. It was really good. I think Charlie Hunnam was in it too. He played like the brother. You know, Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good movie. Yeah. So if anybody's interested, the sequel, not as good. Also doesn't have any of those people.
Wait, that's incorrect. The sequel is always a better movie.
Always better.
That's right. My bad. I'm going off the... our previous statement.
Off script.
My bad, boys. Off brand. All right, so enough soccer. How about that?
Tottenham.
You want to talk about your Spurs?
I think they're in last place.
Oh, that's not great.
I don't really know, though.
That's not great. I don't think they're in last place because that would
okay.
That would be relegation and not going to get relegated. So
are they on the table? I think that's a soccer term.
Look at you! Look at you!
First table, kids' table.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm running on fumes here, guys. Harry Kane.
Hat trick. I think hat trick applies to soccer, too. You can just bring
it
to sports. All right. I'm gonna look up Tottenham. Vamp. Come on. Let's go. I mean, you should know this information because it's your team, dude.
I swear I saw they were bad.
So Tottenham drew with Manchester United last week, and then they just beat West Ham a couple days ago. They're doing okay, man.
Okay.
They got Harry Kane.
So back to Arsenal or whoever the hell won.
Liverpool. Yeah.
Arsenal. They're all the same. They got a cannon and a rooster. It's exactly. Or a lion. They're all the same.
Yeah.
So when you win the Premiership, what does that mean? Is that like winning the AFC East, or is that like the title?
It's funny because it means the same as winning say SC Braga wins their league in Portugal. It means the exact same thing as that. They get to go to the Champions League, and that's
sure there's a lot. I'm sure, there's a lot of money also for winning as well.
You get money, you get sponsorships, you get all people want to play for you and all that stuff. I mean, they're already really good, but pretty much the only thing it. Like tangibly means like right away is that you are eligible for the Champions League and
that's just to get more money.
Yeah. Play against the best teams in the world. Yeah. That's pretty cool. It's a good thing for them. Yeah.
I really wish they would take the relegation system into American sports.
Right.
I mean, just think if we had the Pac-12 and the bottom two got kicked out every year and went to like, you know, the Big Sky
in
the,
Boys, you're in.
Yeah, the top two from the Big Sky come in the next year. I mean, how great would that be?
Well, being that Oregon never beats Boise, not great.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Right. I know. don't bring up Boise too.
It's always really bad.
Too soon. We don't even. Byron Haupt feels like yesterday. I mean, I'm just trying to think of other teams that would be like. That would be eligible to come in. Like, how would you even do that? Would you do like Division II teams, like North Dakota State joins the Big 12 or something?
No, but
this is all their games.
You know, some of the smaller schools, BYU, Nevada. I mean, it's going to mean more money for them if they come if they're good enough to get into the Pac-12. So
yeah, right. Like those independent schools.
Yeah.
So when you get relegated, how long are you relegated for?
I think it's the next, like,
you can get back in the next season.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So Helfrich would have gotten Oregon relegated in 16.
Yep.
Taggart would have taken over a relegated team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and you know,
would like Oregon be playing in the Big Sky or something, like?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. They're, you know, the Liga 2 would be for, you know, to the Pac 12.
I think Big Sky fits. Yeah,
Big Sky. I think Big Sky does fit.
Yeah. That's actually perfect.
It would never happen, but I'm having a hilarious visual of Alabama playing in the Sun Belt or something.
Whatever league Pacific used to play in.
Ah, Pacific, man.
They drop into.
Shout out to Stockton.
So does Pacific – so I know they don't have a football program and haven't for a while. Do they still have a school?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the school's still there. That's nice for them. Okay. Higher learning. Speaking of which, D.D. Hall's gone.
Saw that.
Can we talk about that? A university?
Sure.
Finally, this has been on the table at the U of O for a very long time. Like, people have been talking about this forever, and it's seemingly nobody was ever going to do anything about it. And then, you know, all of a sudden we have protests going on around the country, people not so fond of racist people anymore, and so they're going to the university unanimously voted to change the name of D.D. Hall because that guy was apparently a, you know, widely known racist, like most of the old dead white guys in our state.
Well, to be fair, I feel like if you started a university in 1855,
it's going to be a lot of racists, right?
A lot of racists. Yeah. Not so, to say that I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah.
I feel like if you dug deep on most campuses, like Leland Stanford probably was not a good guy. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You're just guessing.
Just guessing.
We're just putting racists on a bunch of dead white guys. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So here's the logical follow up question. What would you rename it to?
Just throw Knight on the end of it again. Why not?
Tag
it. Everything's named Knight. Just call it Knight Hall.
Chip Kelly Hall.
Steps to Steep Hall. There's the staircase is really steep.
Okay, I was like, I might need that one explained to me.
I don't know. Don't name it after. Just name it like Hall.
No, I've seen people say that it should be named after like a mathematician or something like. I think it's like the Math Hall or something. So just a famous math alum or something like that, or just, you know, sell it to the highest bidder. Make somebody pay for it. Why not? Sell it.
I feel like it's how a lot of buildings get named anyway.
I'm saying that's the whole point, right? The building gets made and paid for by the person. Therefore, it gets named after them. That's kind of how it works. And back then, a lot of racist white dudes had a lot of money.
Highest bidder, Mr. Didi.
So they named all the buildings and also the universities.
And Joseph Lane.
Yeah, right. Have you seen the new Hayward Field?
I have.
Finished. The university is talking about it a whole bunch. It looks really good.
It does. It
really does look good. So, like, all the hoopla about getting rid of Hayward. And I think Oregon fans probably over that now. Because I remember we were going through the whole thing when Matt Knight Arena was being built. And, like, that student wrote that big thing and protested it. And, you know, did all these speeches about how they should save Matt Court. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be it's a historical monument for the area. No, it was, you know, it was a tinderbox that, you know, had places where you sit and pay money to watch a game where you couldn't actually see the game because there were fucking things in your way. Like, no, that shouldn't be a arena for a top-tier big conference school. So obviously I think we're over that now. And then they build Jane Sanders Stadium right next to where Matt Court used to be. And then I know people were talking about Hayward in a similar light, but I don't think they were doing it for that long because – yeah, go ahead.
Well, the thing about Hayward is – It's not a spectator sport track just in general, like basketball was, like Matt Court, right?
Well, you don't stand there and go.
No, I just mean that, like, there's what, maybe two or three big events a year at Hayward?
Yeah.
Because they don't really do the Pepsi Invitational Twilights anymore. Like, yeah. The Oregon program kind of has evolved past, and even when they hosted them, were you really rushing to Hayward to see them run against Wazoo? No, no one was. So it was just there to get big, huge events. Well, in order to get those big, huge events, you got to tear down Hayward.
Damn right. And in order to get big concerts coming to your university, you need to build Matt Knight Arena.
Yeah.
And that's why they did it. And it's working. They're having, or they had before viruses. They had.
I thought more people were kind of complaining about the design aspect of Hayward.
Yeah. And it
like before, it wasn't that. Like, a lot of it, they thought, you know, it looked bad and, you know, like it was gaudy.
But yeah.
I personally think it looks good.
Yeah, they did a really.
It looks really good.
They did a really.
It looks
good.
Really good.
Yeah, I look forward to, you know, some, you know, post vaccine activities actually maybe going to that, because I never went to Hayward, maybe twice in my whole life. Like, why would I go to Hayward?
The Prefontaine's pretty cool,
I guess.
The Olympic trials are cool.
Man, getting me to like pay money and go to that is a big ask.
When the Olympic trials were here in 2012, I went, and it was just this horrendously rainy, shitty June day. And they had this whole like villa like tarped off, right? You know, and so I needed to run to the ATM. And so I wait, and there's just this regular looking dude in front of me at the ATM, you know, pulls out his cash, leaves his ticket there. I look, and he had something like 9 figures in his bank account, and I was like, ah, these are the people Olympic skater to. Yeah. That's what I'm like. Now it makes sense. I'm just pulling out $40.
Wouldn't that be funny if it were like a really famous track athlete?
Could have been.
I can't name one, by the way. I was thinking about that, trying to come up with one, waiting for my chance to talk, and I couldn't come up with a famous fucking track athlete.
Ashton Eaton.
Like Usain Bolt?
Steve Prefontaine.
Ashton Eaton. There you go.
Galen Rupp. Mo Farah.
There you go.
Michael Johnson.
Mo Farah. He's British, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Well, he runs for the Olympics. He at least, you know, participates for Britain. But
I thought you were going to say
who knows how.
I thought you were going to say he runs like a British person. Runs with his pinky out or something. All right. So I guess we should talk about all the players in different sports testing positive for coronavirus. Cause you know, all we've really heard over the last few weeks and, you know, month or so is how leagues are, you know, negotiating with the players and trying to come up with a system to, you know, start playing. Blah, 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 like the NFL acting like they're going to start on time. Baseball, like, yeah, 70 games, 60 games, whatever, let's do it. Blah, 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 everybody's going to make money, hey! You know, the NBA going to fucking Disney World. And now tons of players are testing positive for COVID. So, like, Jabari Parker tested positive for COVID. One of his teammates did, too. I think it's, like, 12 players on the Phillies tested positive for COVID. Obviously, we talked about Ezekiel Elliott. Like, should we be even trying to do sports right now? I'm really confused by this because obviously our country is taking the stance that, you know, the virus is done, like we're over it or something like that. But what happens if one of these players gets really, really sick, maybe dies? What happens if he gets one of his coaches sick? Because the coaches are old people. Like, what happens if a coach dies? Like, are we seriously going to – like, if we have the option to, you know, wait until there's a vaccine and then start, like, maybe be a little patient, wait, you know, 4 or 5 months and then redo things, maybe miss half a season or maybe miss a whole season. Shit happens. I mean, it's a fucking pandemic. Those don't come along very often. Or should we be even trying to do sports right now? Because it doesn't seem like baseball hasn't even started yet. They haven't even started their spring training thing yet, and players are testing positive.
I'm gonna say there's a nice litmus test going right now with the PGA. Uh-huh. And that is the smallest, probably most controlled you could have of all sports. And you got players and caddies, you know, testing positive. Like, was it three players had a drop out of the Travelers yesterday?
Yeah.
And one guy got it in the tournament before. And then, I mean, just think when you add in, you know, another 20 coaches and another, you know, 30, 40 guys around, you know, an individual like that. Because these golfers, you know, they're spread out. I know they're all, like, traveling and living in the same, you know, place, but they're not engaging with each other, like, really on the course.
Right. But they are engaging with their caddy, and then their caddy is engaging with other people. And because caddies work with different golfers, too. So that's what the big deal was, is the golfer tested positive, his caddy tested positive, and his caddy had worked with a couple of other people who had worked with a caddy, who had worked with other people, who had worked with a caddy. And it's like, if fucking 6 degrees of separation or whatever, and you got to shut all of them down.
Well, like I said, you do that for the baseball season. One guy gets COVID and he's out for, you know, a month or two. That's that's damn near the season right there. It might get to the point where, you know, they might have a season going. They're going to run out of players possibly.
Yeah. Well, all those AAA guys we were talking about last week are going to be
the
starting roster.
Yeah, just that you could see a whole team's rotation go down at the same time. Yeah. Those pitchers just hang out together.
I think the stat I saw, I could be wrong, but I believe it was Clemson had more positive tests at like 22 or 28 than like all of the Premier League soccer has had. That's just one school. Just one. In case you're wondering if they're taking it a little more cautiously over there than we are.
Yeah, different parts of the country.
Well, and then I'm not wildly convinced college football happens. No. And partially is because college football revolves around college players, right? And young players doing young player things. Yep. And just even locally in the last week, what was there? Six people who cluster got it at a bar in town. And then there's
the house party.
That's a separate one.
That's a separate one? Yeah.
Yes, there was a bar and then a separate house party of, you know, young teens. That's going to happen.
Yep.
It just is going to happen. And I don't know.
They're college kids.
Yeah, like my thing with the college deal is every year you get college players who go to the combine and they find some underlying health issue with them. I'm like, oh, I never knew I had that. Like, all it's going to take for especially college football, because once you get to the NFL or the MLB, the training's a little different. The doctors are a little better. You know, I'm not saying the staff at the U of O is bad or any, but it is different. All it's going to take is like one kid at Rutgers, some offensive lineman, who didn't know he had hypertension, running in the August heat in 102, and he didn't pop hot because he took a test that morning, but it turns out he's got it, something happens. It's just going to take one bad catastrophe.
Well, they're going to push it until that happens, I have a feeling, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
they're going to go until that one thing hits, and then
we'll see
if they just shut it down.
And, like, the thing is if, like, because before college football or the NFL gets here, we'll have baseball and basketball. Mm-hmm. But the difference between them and college is they don't have college players don't have a union. Mm-hmm. And as wacky as Kyrie Irving is, I mean, he got up there, you know, a week or so ago and got 30 guys on a conference call and was like, don't play.
Yeah.
You know, don't play. And not many listened.
Well, he also suggests starting their own league also.
Kyrie, drop out, start your own league, and then go try and find NBA arenas not owned by NBA owners that you. Yeah, good
find someone to pay you $25 million a year.
Yeah, good luck.
But it'll be interesting because even today, I saw that the Cubs are pretty set on filling up Wrigley, because they're going to be in phase four by the time the season starts in Illinois. It just seems awfully.
Like, why?
I hope it works. And like I've said before, I'm not smart enough to get it, but yeah. The NBA has been like, hey, we're doing a bubble thing. MLS, we're doing a bubble thing. WSL, bubble thing. premier, you know, Europe, no fans, and baseball is just like, eh, we'll have 30 cities open, and yeah. maybe the stadiums will be full.
Well, fill the stadiums for the places that want to fill them. It's like, no, you're crazy. And I guess the
cheap beer in Copenhagen, I think, kills COVID, so I think it'll fit right in at Wrigley. God.
It's fucking yeah. scientist over
science. Here. Science.
Hashtag science. So the NFL apparently came out with their – so first of all, they canceled the Hall of Fame game, which who knows if how much preseason football they're actually going to have. I kind of don't see them having much. But then again, that's kind of a way you can have football games and just exclude the fans because it doesn't fucking matter anyways. But that was canceled, and then they announced their seating policy. So they're going to give like the first six rows or something like that. They're going to keep them empty, and they're going to give stadiums and teams a chance to sell advertising in there, which is actually a fairly large step by the NFL because we know how stringent they are with you not wearing their licensed apparel on the sideline or anywhere within camera view of the sideline. And so they're apparently going to be – teams are going to be able to go outside those companies and, you know, sell like local advertising if they want to. But beyond that – so that's them protecting the players and the sidelines. But beyond that, just fucking free-for-all?
Everybody, they still got time. They still got time.
Everybody hug it out? Let's go. Like all in arms in Green Bay. Let's go. Green Bay, by the way, is going to be a shit show for this because it's so fucking cold. This apparently this virus likes cold.
Oh. It would be funny.
Well, it seems like it likes
funny,
the
heat
too.
Yeah. The whole NFC North or whatever is just wiped out in December.
Everybody goes and plays in Arizona or something.
Yeah, the Bears, Packers, Lions, you're all going home. You're done.
No, that's perfect. Thanks
for showing up.
No, that's perfect. All their home games are in Mexico. So that's what the NFL was trying to do anyways, right? Brilliant.
I don't think there's going to be any London game this year if the EU just, like, kicks America out. So.
No, they already said there's not. Yeah, the Jags. Yeah, the Jags play all their games in Jacksonville this year.
That 5 a.m. fucking London game. God, so exciting.
Pray for Jacksonville. Ugh.
17-12 game.
Well, it's better than, you know, playing on whatever the Wembley Stadium field that was just a pile of shit a few years ago. So Ariza opted out for the Blazers in their little thing. So they're going to pick out Trevor Ariza, but they're still going to probably have Nurk and Collins. So who knows what that means? I don't know.
The Ariza thing, good on Trevor. You know, he's got that month-long window. But when you really read that article, his ex is being really petty there.
Yeah, like, petty level 1,000 there.
Oh, you want a month? How about the only time I can find is when you're going to be playing.
Yeah, right.
Weird how that works.
Kind of rude. That's extra fucked up because it's like, where does all your money come from? me playing, right?
Right.
They'll probably allow it so I can keep playing.
Do the players still get paid if they don't show up?
Ooh.
I feel like they might. I think like there was an exemption or something.
Because giving them the option to back out, I think that would be
– I think they might, yeah.
I think you might be right there. I have no idea how to, like, break down basketball right now because they haven't been playing for such a long time. So who the fuck knows what it – I guess the Lakers are going to be better than everybody else because they've been using this millionaire's, you know, home basketball court to practice together illegally or something. But who the fuck knows about any – who knows?
But
the Lakers were already better than everybody anyway, so.
Well, Clippers are pretty good.
I didn't see that. I saw the Chinese League started up. I don't know if did they have fans in their stands?
Chinese basketball?
What's that?
Chinese basketball?
Yeah, because I saw Joe Young drop like 55.
I did.
follow his Instagram. He's straight up fucking balls in China.
He really does.
I don't know how he's not on an NBA roster.
It's crazy, right? I've been saying that every time I watch him. All he does, he like averages 38 points or something like that. It's insane. Like nobody,
it's a casual 55 he dropped.
Nobody can guard him. It is pretty crazy. All right, so I don't know what to say about the NBA. Or do you guys have anything?
I kind of like the idea that just random free agents can now join whoever they want. So like J.R. Smith is probably going to be a Laker. That's right. Just interesting. I don't know who else is an interesting free agent, but
that's, by the way, that's saying an awful lot that J.R. Smith is an interesting free agent. I mean,
I just have visions of like T-Mac being like, I never got that ring.
Right.
And calling up LeBron or Giannis. Ah, come on. I got 6 minutes of game in me.
Was Vince Carter retiring today so he could go sign with another team?
4D chess right there.
Yeah, it really is. For real, like Kevin Garnett decides that he doesn't want to be an actor and is like, hey, I got like a month in me. Let's go. Let's go win a title. Let's go win a ring, Portland. Let's go. Bring in KG. Get Allen Iverson.
He's a little old.
I heard
AI. He's a little old.
I heard AI needs the money, though, right?
You know, it's funny. Like, that's the rumor. No, because Reebok – I mean, he did lose, like, all of his playing money.
Right.
But his agent, when he signed with Reebok, hooked him up with, like, a really sick deal where he gets – I want to say it's like $900,000 a year going forward. And then when he turns like 50, he gets some trust where he gets $30 million or something. Ugh. So his agent did him good for sure.
Bobby Bow contract.
He's got to be creeping up on 50 now. Got what, mid-40s?
Probably.
Yeah, 45, 46.
All right, what's each of your guesses?
Stay with 45.
I'll say 44.
What? He is 45 years old.
Wow.
June 7th, 1975. Hampton, VA, as we know. He didn't have a very good experience in Virginia.
No, he didn't.
Anybody knows anything about Allen Iverson? All right, so I have one more thing before we get to our list and trivia. Our list and trivia, by the way, are going to be very similar. I have a special fuck you announcement to Novak Djokovic. So if nobody heard, Novak Djokovic decided to have a tournament that spanned, like, I think it was supposed to span a couple weeks where he didn't care about COVID. He's like, if you want to come watch, sit next to each other. We're not going to test anybody. You don't have to wear masks. Just come out, hang out, do your thing like a normal tournament. The players, like, we're not going to do anything special to protect the players, blah, blah, blah. Everybody just do what they want. Sure enough, Novak Djokovic and his wife test positive for COVID. So do a whole bunch of other people who were there, including other tennis athletes. And so, like, he came out with some bullshit apology. Like, he's an asshole. Like, I mean, there is not wearing a mask because you want to be like a hard ass or something. Like, oh, you can't tell me what to do, blah, blah, blah. But there's another thing to like putting hundreds of people in danger. I know they're all free people. They can do whatever they want. But, you know, acting like it's not a big deal and then being one of those like anti-vaxxers and shit like that and then having this happen. Like, fuck Novak Djokovic.
I mean, the jokes that came out of it were pretty good, though. I mean, being able to call him Novak, you know, Djokovic is pretty good. Or the fact that, you know, he got it as, no, you know, Djokovic, and then at the same tournament, Jokic for the Nuggets got it. Uh-huh. So people could work in, you know, wow, COVID isn't a Jokic, you know. You take the good with the bad.
No.
You know? It's funny.
It's funny. No.
It's in an ignorant way.
Yeah, sure.
We got there, but.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, we probably should follow up on the Bubba Watson, or Bubba Wallace, not the golfer.
Yep.
This car. So the FBI did that investigation into the noose in the garage and found that the noose had been there since October of last year and that there's no way that anybody could have known that he was going to end up in that garage. And so the it literally was just one of those ropes that you pull down a garage because you can't reach the top of the garage because it's impossible. It was the only one that was, you know, tied like a noose. You don't need to tie one of those like a noose. It can literally just be a straight rope, as anybody who has owned a garage knows. So they never really found out why it was tied as a noose, who did it last year. But either way, it's not there anymore, obviously. But there was no, like, you know, hate, like race attack thing or anything against Wallace, according to the FBI. And, you know, I guess he was on board with that too. So
now that story took a weird, like, 24-hour turn.
It did. Yeah.
It was yesterday when they came out and said it was a noose, but it'd been since October, and people were taking this victory lap. You know, this hoax. He's the racist. You know, it was just a noose that had been in there since October. Like, get over it. But and then this morning they put out a picture of the noose.
Yeah.
For the first time, a definitive picture of the noose, and the story went from, well, it's not a noose. That was a pivot. And you got to tie it that way. No.
Yeah. No, you know, you
it's
don't
just a rope.
Yeah, you don't have to tie it at all. Yeah.
We made the task of pulling on a rope very difficult for some reason.
Anybody in the South claim that it was a cultural thing? That's just how we tie our garage ropes in the South.
But, the funny thing was
King.
The people being like, ah, that news, sure, it looks like a noose, and it's been there since October, but it wasn't targeted. Well, it's still weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Why was a noose there? It was clearly...
It was clearly fashioned as a noose, like the FBI said.
Yeah.
By
the way, that's not something the FBI backed away on. They're like, this is a noose. We just don't know who did it or why it's there.
It's been there
since last year, but it is definitely a fucking noose.
Yeah, like, I don't think it was a targeted thing. No. You know, I mean, there's no way to prove that, now.
I want to know how do they know it's been there? Was there, like, pictures from 8 months ago of the garage?
Yeah, people who were around that garage back then started, like, some racer even was, like, scrolling through his iPhone pictures. It was like, well, it was there on October 17th. You see it hanging there, but.
Right.
Bizarre.
Weird.
Very bizarre story.
Weird story. But again, it all comes back to, why was a noose there? Even if it's not a racist attack against Wallace, who ties a garage rope into a noose? And thinks
you can just do a simple hoop knot there.
Yeah,
you know, you take the time to
literally just a knot, right?
Nooses look very complicated. Like, why are you wasting that much time? I couldn't tie one.
Exactly. So clearly, the intent was to tie it like a noose and send some sort of message, whether it be I don't know what that would be, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
could easily just been, you know, some redneck mechanics who are, you know, their racer was in there, you know, joking around, and that's why they did it. I mean,
very, very plausible. Yeah,
it could have just been a subconscious thing.
There was underlying racism behind the noose.
But yeah, it was a noose.
Yes.
Heritage, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm tired of hearing that fucking word. Oh, boy.
You guys excited for the weather tomorrow?
I'm so excited for the weather tomorrow. What's happening in the weather tomorrow?
90 degrees, man.
I didn't golf on Tuesday because it was so fucking hot.
It was hot.
I'm not really built for that kind of weather. I'm fair skin. sun doesn't
fair enough.
Sun doesn't agree with me. Like, I go for runs and I turn red up here, man. It's not a good scene.
Got to protect that scalp. That scalp will burn.
I know. You know what I got to get for that? It's not a hat. You know what I got to get for that?
You can have, like, the 5 inches of hair I had cut off.
Right. A skull cap. That's what they call it, right? Yep. Skull cap. Well, that's what I'll get. All right. So real quick, I still have soccer on in the background, and I just wanted to note something because I was thinking this as I was watching some of the highlights the other day. So the Premier League, as we've talked about before, they use the crowd, like the fake crowd noise for the broadcasts. They don't have it going through the actual arena, but for the broadcast, they have fake crowd noise. And I was like, man, it's kind of lame. But the more I'm watching it and the more I'm watching sports that don't have that, so like the Premier League does it and then my SC Braga team, they don't do it. And so watching highlights of the two things is like, man, they really need something. Like some sort of like quiet music in the background, if not crowd noise, something. Because especially with like the NBA and stuff, if you don't have that, you're going to hear everything, like everything the players say, you're gonna hear, and you do not want that on a broadcast for an NBA game. You don't want that.
That PJ event last week, there were multiple F-bombs dropped on air.
It's gonna be way worse with the NBA, man.
And just the sorry about that language, folks.
Yeah, well, don't put it. You have two choices. You either don't put a mic on the action, or you put something over it. So you can try to have both. It seems to work with the Premier League. I feel like they're given a nice little barometer here, a nice little blueprint for what people should probably do in sports if they're going to broadcast it. But that's just something I noticed. It's like if they don't have that, it's going to be a shit show. Like you're not going to have kids watching LeBron James dropping like N-bombs left and right. It's like that might change the image. Like the Space Jam 2 marketing team might have some work to do, is all I'm saying. Do we have any gardening talk?
We don't.
Other than the weather?
I don't. But I have got some suggestions that we need to do cooking talk.
Ooh! That is big. Like cooking and baking is big for COVID right now. Like, people learning how to make bread?
Get your sourdough starters ready.
Yo, I got it in my fridge right now, dog! I have no idea what I'm doing with it. It's in there, though. I gotta feed it. Somebody told me I have to feed it.
Feed that bitch.
Somebody told me. My girlfriend told me. I gotta feed it. Yeah, right? Like, she listens to this, and I'm like, somebody told me. Somebody, you motherfucker! Yes! All right, so no gardening talk. Fair enough. I mean, I got to put it out there just in case. You never know.
See we had a great comment from last week. I believe it was from Kurt. It was a new slogan for Klamath Falls.
Mm.
It was, Klamath Falls, at least we don't have a Blimpies. So that's that is a great town slogan if I ever heard one.
That would be a great sign. Roll in, you're like, geesh, I don't know. This town doesn't look so great. Hey, well, at least you don't have a Blimpies.
Okay.
It could be worse.
That is so good. All right, let's get to all right, do we want to do trivia or our lists first? They both have the same theme. So let's do list first, because you got this suggested to you by a listener, right, King?
Correct.
What is it?
Your top three characters from Quentin Tarantino movies.
Love that. God. Who suggested it? Do they want a shout out? Do you know it? Do you remember?
Charles!
Is that Charles in New Mexico?
No, but he actually lives in Arizona now.
Or is it Phoenix? I think it's
Scotts. I think he's Scottsdale. He's pretty rich.
Forget. Hey, good for him.
Yeah, I know.
Do you need a roommate?
He has a pool that he doesn't even use. Sucker.
Jesus Christ.
I know. And like a $5,000 Husky.
Bro.
I know. Charles, come on.
Come on, man. Come.
Like, help us out. In this economy, we're all in this together.
In this economy? Yeah, we do.
Hashtag COVID-19.
The podcast does take donations. I'll give out I don't have a Venmo. Somebody just I'll give out my physical address. You can send me a check. Well,
yeah, I don't think you want to do that.
We do accept cash.
Yeah, cha-ching. Let's go. All right, who wants to start? So are we doing three or four?
Three.
Oh, this is such a hard list, by the way.
It's impossible.
Like, I love Tarantino. Like, I love his movies. Well, maybe I don't love him, per se, but his movies are fucking fantastic. Like, they're so good. So coming up with three characters from all of them is really difficult.
Well, you'd start off then.
I guess I'll start. I'll go with kind of the obvious one to start. I'm going to go with Sam Jackson as Jules in Pulp Fiction.
Ooh, number three. Ooh. Yeah,
right? I know. He probably should be number one, right?
I mean, you could have gone Sam Jackson for one, two, and three. I mean, you could have made a case for it.
Very easily. His character in Django is so good. Like, you hate him so much. And, like, his ability to make you – like, because he's Sam Jackson. You fucking love Sam Jackson. But his ability to make you hate him so much is really impressive in that movie. Yeah, he's my three.
I guess I'll go. My number three is Bud from Kill Bill 2. Purely because it has my favorite scene, which is, in my eyes, one of the most disrespectful scenes you could have, where – he knocked Kiddo down, you know, she's bleeding, and she spits blood at his face. Uh-huh. And then his redneck ass hawks the biggest chew spit loogie just right in her eye.
Amazing.
I don't think there's no coming back from someone spitting chew in your face.
You know, I just saw for the first time some like deleted scenes from Kill Bill. And I had not seen this before, but apparently they shot this entire sequence where Bill and Uma Thurman's character. What's the bride?
Beatrix Kiddo.
That's right. They're walking through this like town in Japan, and all of a sudden, Michael Jai White and this like gang like of samurai around him all of a sudden show up and like challenge Bill to a fight, and like Bill kills Michael Jai White. It's what? Where has this been my whole life? Michael Jai White is rad. It's really cool. It's like, it's super cheesy. Like I totally understand why he took it out, but if anybody hasn't seen that and likes Kill Bill, do that. It's worth it. It's like a 5 minute chunk.
Good shit. Back in the day, I got my car towed, and in the back of it was Kill Bill 2 that I needed to return to Blockbuster.
Oh no!
Guess what was not in the car when I got it back?
Oh no!
Jerks!
What's this cost of doing business?
I'm on you, Froggy's Towing. You owe me $45.
Oh, putting him on blast!
Yeah, Froggy's.
Froggy's, eat a dick. Michael Jai White, underrated, by the way. He's in a lot of really
bad movies.
Really bad action movies. But at least he's like, he has that lane that he's in, and he's been consistent.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so my number three, and it's fair to call it recency bias, but I'm going with Cliff Booth from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's just such a chill buddy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Super chill.
Super chill.
Super
chill.
He's
so chill. And he's so good looking. He's so good looking in it.
He is. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even by Brad Pitt standards, he's so good looking in it.
It's impossible to argue. He's got a lot of McConaughey in him in that movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I will say my mistake seeing that movie was doing it spur of the moment after like two beers and an edible, and it started at like 10:45 at night at Cinemark. That was a tough one to stay awake for, even though it was very good.
This is a fucked up list.
It's impossible.
I have a list. I literally wrote down a list of 10 characters. I'm going through all the Tarantino movies, and I'm writing down like ones that, well, they have to be on the list. I have all the, I'm going to have like a shit ton of honorable mentions here. I guess I got to do two. I'll go. It's a toss up, man. I'm going to go Brad Pitt and Inglourious Basterds. Aldo Raine.
Aldo.
That character's really good. And Brad Pitt's really good as that character. I don't know. I don't know if that character would have been as good if it were somebody else. Like, without the accent, without him doing the face stuff that he did every time he talked. Like, Brad Pitt was fucking great in that. He doesn't get enough credit, man. Like, he's a good actor.
Like, Brad Pitt gets plenty of credit.
Yeah, well, okay, fair enough. No, but I think a lot of people just look at him as like a face, you know? Like, he's just this dumb fucking blah, blah, blah. But he legit, like, especially in Tarantino movies, fucking pulls it out, man.
Yeah.
All right, Aldo.
All right, my number two is John Ruth, the Hangman from Hateful Eight. Because love me some Kurt Russell, and especially love me some Kurt Russell with just the most fantastic mustache you could have.
So good. Legend. He is like an unrelenting hard ass in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Just so another great Sam Jackson character in that, too.
Absolutely. I saw that movie in Portland. I remember Tarantino did like a tour for it where they showed it in like the – there's like some special way he shot it. It was like this 40 millimeter or some shit – 70 millimeter or something like that where like this wide, super wide screen – and they showed it in like a special theater with a special screen, and then they had like an intermission, and they gave you like it was like a play basically. So they gave you a play bill when you went in, and you had all this information in it. And then they showed the first half, had an intermission, and then showed the second half. It was fucking great.
Was like, it like director's cut?
Because it's a fucking like 3 hour movie. It's anyway. Yeah, so they just cut it in half. And it was really, I know it probably sounds like kind of lame. I really enjoyed it. Like they don't do that shit. And so how many times are you going to get to do something like that with a movie? And I'm super into Tarantino. So
man, that's kind of shit Tarantino would do.
I was,
I mean, he had that double feature and that's just
grindhouse thing. Just,
yeah. That's just how he rolls.
Yes, it is.
You're up. All right, my number two is Pam Grier and Jackie Brown.
Love that.
Yep.
I feel like Jackie Brown just as a whole gets kind of forgotten.
That's my top Tarantino. That's my top Tarantino movie.
It really does. It really does get forgotten.
But everyone loves it. And
look at the cast in it, dude. Sam, like De Niro's in it. Sam Jackson. So good. Yeah, I can't argue with that. Oh, fuck. Number one? Oh,
the most important one.
I got nothing. So, I'm going to go Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds. And I don't feel good about it.
Two Inglourious Basterds.
I know.
Hans Landa.
It is, yeah.
Very hateable character.
Very hateable, but so well done, man.
Christopher Waltz seems like he'd be really insufferable to hang out with, though.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if he's like I think you're just saying
he's like really smart and snarky.
Yeah, like he's just like, ugh, you're really below me. But, and the person he's talking to is like, hey, I'm Leo. Like, why are you being so rude to me? I'm a good actor, too.
But I am really cool guy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We hang out. We have good time. Good times. We watch the American baseball, right? Yes, we're all friends. And he's like plotting to kill everybody. Damn Nazis.
All right. My number one is Ordell Roby from Jackie Brown.
Ooh.
Samuel in that is just fucking fantastic.
Yep. Again, impossible to argue. What you got for one, King?
Oh, man, it's tough. It's tough.
Right?
I just – whatever you say for number one just feels wrong.
It does.
It really does. It feels wrong?
It does.
I guess Mia Wallace, Pulp Fiction. It's just
– yeah. I guess.
There's just a couple iconic scenes. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm mad at that.
But I feel bad because like I couldn't get Calvin Candy into the group, you know?
Thank you. I was literally just about to bring him up.
But it's such that's such a good – oh, man.
God. He is so good. Like, Leo is so good in Django, man. Ugh. Like, I've talked about that before, Django. So this is a list of really good, accomplished actors. And that, in my opinion, that is the best they have been is in that movie. Like, Sam Jackson – and that's a big statement, by the way, especially with the other movies we've talked about. I think DiCaprio, that's the best he's acted. I think that's Jamie Foxx's best. I mean, and he was in Ray, for God's sake. Unbelievable. I don't think it's Christoph Waltz's best, obviously, because Inglourious Basterds was his best, but so good. You guys got any honorable mentions? Because I got some.
I didn't do that. It just would have been too long.
Yeah, go on.
I got Jennifer Jason Leigh in Hateful Eight, too. Daisy Domergue.
Mm-hmm.
That character's great. And Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs. Fucking complete psycho. And then here's my last one. Sneaky is the little girl actor in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Ooh, that was sneaky.
It's like you're the best. That was the best acting I've ever seen. That little girl, she stole that shit, man. Maybe not the whole movie. That's why she's not in my top three. Thank you for that list, Charles. I legitimately was struggling with that, and I know you guys probably were too.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
It really is.
Because I could have said like, I don't know, Honey Bunny and Pumpkin, and you could have been like, you know, I could see that.
Right.
They had a good scene.
Right. Or Sonny Chiba and Kill Bill.
Yeah. It's an impossible list. They're all God's children.
They're all
the parents' favorite child, you know.
Right. You could ask any group of 10 people what their number one is, and you'd probably have 10 different answers. I'm surprised, like, one of us didn't have Jules number one. Pretty surprising. That's like probably the most iconic character of any Tarantino movie, right?
Like I said,
no Vincent Vega either. You know, it's just kind of
yeah, true that.
But maybe that one just feels too obvious, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't particularly like Bruce Willis's character in that movie either. Yeah, whatever. All right, let's get to trivia. Nice little segue. Also, regarding Quentin Tarantino. So Ski
has a Quentin Tarantino podcast.
Yeah, right. Pretty much.
Cinephiles.
Yeah.
Right. He came out and kind of defended some stuff he probably shouldn't have defended a few years back, if I remember correctly. Something about like Roman Polanski dating underage girls or something. And he's like, yeah. Anyway, maybe I shouldn't bring that up. Powering through that. All right. So Ski has won the first two. Ken, you should probably fucking figure your shit out.
I'll never win a movie one. I could go against a 5-year-old. I watch a movie once. That's it. It's out of my system. I can't. We'll I don't retain movies.
We'll see. All right. So what would you be best at for future?
There's some 1980s Chiefs.
1980s
Dave Craig.
Chiefs. Elvis Gerbach. No, that's 90s, isn't it?
Very much 90s.
Yeah. Name another 1980s Chief.
What's that?
Jesus.
Christian Okoye?
Yeah, I think he started in the 80s.
Was he in the 80s?
Yeah. That sounds right. Good call. Now name another one. Didn't think so. All right, so because he's down to love, King's going to start. And so, again, the format is I give the question. First person gets to guess based on a blind guess. And then if they get it wrong, then the second person gets to have a chance with some multiple choice. And so what I should do actually is start with Ski because it's harder to do a blind guess than it is to do multiple choice. Sound good?
Sure.
Okay. All right. In which Quentin Tarantino movie did Harvey Keitel only speak over the phone? He was in the movie, was not physically in the movie.
Oh, not physical. All right. Kill Bill.
All right, Ken, your multiple choice. One of them was Kill Bill. The other two, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Inglourious Basterds.
Shit. I'll say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It is Inglourious Basterds. I mean, 50-50 shot, right?
Hey.
He was in the scene at the end when Brad Pitt is talking to his commander about what to do with Hans Landa. He is the commander talking to Brad Pitt over the phone. Harvey Keitel.
Yeah.
All right, your turn for this one, King. Which movie did Quentin Tarantino write but then lose interest in directing?
Phantom Menace.
It's pretty, you might kick yourself after this one. All right, Ski, the options. From Dusk Till Dawn.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
You don't want to hear the other ones?
No.
Okay. No, it is True Romance.
Damn it.
Yeah, True Romance.
The Arnold movie?
No, the one with Christian Slater. Slater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Trying to give King a little chance by just ripping it off if I could have a guess.
Good try. Yeah, sure. That's what you've been doing. Yeah, yeah. Just giving it a chance. Tony Scott ended up directing it and then changed the ending, apparently. It was like a downer ending and he fixed it. Whatever. All right, so this one is Ski. Tarantino has two Oscar wins in his career, both for Best Original Screenplay. Which movies won the award? Hint, one was in the 90s, one is from the last decade. Best Original Screenplay. Two movies.
I'm going to say Inglourious Basterds and Pulp Fiction.
Incorrect. All right, your choices, King. Django Unchained and Pulp Fiction, Inglourious Basterds and Reservoir Dogs, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Jackie Brown.
I'll go with C. Once upon a time in Hollywood and Jackie Brown.
That is incorrect.
Oh!
The answer is Django and Pulp Fiction.
Oh!
Man, should have gone with Pulp Fiction. Anything in Pulp Fiction.
It's true. That's true.
All right, King. In Django Unchained, Django enlisted the help of Dr. King Schultz to find his wife. What job did Schultz appear to have at the beginning of the movie? He was riding around in like a cart. What was the cart for?
Picking apples.
That's incorrect. All right, Ski. Was he a snake oil salesman, a dentist, or a doctor?
Was there a big-ass tooth on the top of it? Dentist.
Yes, there was.
Yes, there was. All right.
Finally, we get a fucking correct answer. Hey, terrible at Tarantino movies, apparently.
I want to put a big asterisk next to that from Dusk Till Dawn.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure Tarantino wrote it and Robert Rodriguez directed it.
He might have helped write it, but it's not one that he wrote and then lost interest in directing, which is what the question was.
Very specific.
Fucking horseshit.
All right, we'll put an asterisk next to this. Sure, what the fuck ever. Let's see, whose turn is it? Is it Yuski?
Yeah.
Because you got that one. Okay. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was the last film this famous TV actor shot before passing away from a stroke in March of last year.
I got to run through people who are in it and died.
Famous TV actor from when we were younger, especially.
I'm just going to throw out nothing. I have nothing. I was going to say Robert Forrester, but I don't think.
That is not correct. All right, King. your options. Bruce Dern, Mike Moe, who is the guy who played Bruce Lee, or Luke Perry.
Luke Perry.
That is correct. That was the last movie he made before he died. All right, King. Who makes the bride's sword in the Kill Bill movies? What is the name of the character?
The Stone.
The Stone? Yeah, the famous The Stone Sword.
The Sword, the Stone. I don't know. Excalibur. Full disclosure, I didn't like the Kill Bill movies, so I actually don't remember them.
That's fair. Do I need to give you options? All right, Ski's got that one. I have a little bit of information about the real Hattori Hanzo, by the way, if anybody would like them. Would you like some?
Of course, that person would be real. That would be what Tarantino would do.
You
would
say no. It's an homage to a real-life samurai from the Sengoku era in the 1500s, credited with saving Tokugawa Ieyasu and helping him become ruler of Japan, who was the first ruler of that shogunate, which ruled Japan for almost 300 years. So he's kind of a legend in Japan. There's lots of things about him there.
Sure.
Yeah, sure, why not?
He was probably referenced in a Wu-Tang song.
Yep.
Ah. Ooh. Ah. All right, Ski. So you lead 2-1 right now.
Ooh.
through six.
Big 10 game going here.
Yeah, pretty much. A low-scoring affair here in Lincoln. Who is one of the stars of Death Proof and the primary stunt person in most of Tarantino's movies? Hint, it is a female. She has an accent when she talks.
I can't remember that Bronson. Nothing.
All right. King, your options. Ming-Na Wen, Shauna Duggins, or Zoe Bell?
Zoe Bell.
That is correct. 2-2, tying it up. So she was has been in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Hateful Eight, Django, Death Proof. She's like one of the stars of Death Proof. Was a stunt person in Inglourious Basterds and Kill Bill. Also, Cate Blanchett's stunt double in Thor Ragnarok. In case anybody knows that. All right, so 2-2. And it is King's turn. In Pulp Fiction, there are two characters who rob a restaurant. This is going to be easy for you. Literally mentioned it earlier. One is named Pumpkin. What is the other called?
Bunny. Honey.
Thank you. Is that Bunny, comma, Honey? That is correct. Played by Amanda Plummer. Tim Roth was Pumpkin. All right, Ski. Which president does Sam Jackson's character in Hateful Eight claim to have a letter from?
Oh.
It's the blank letter, they call it.
God. I mean, Lincoln.
That is correct. Nice work.
Does it help? All right. It's like
Honest Abe.
Right. How many questions is that? We got 9 so far, and Ski has a 1-answer lead. Is that what's going on here? 1, 2, 3, 1. Wait, hang on. 1, 2, 3. No, we're tied. Are we? Yeah, we're tied.
I want to keep score.
Yeah, I know, right? I got the paper here. Well, I'm having to go from page to page. It's difficult, all right? You got more than one page? Forget it. All right. King.
This is for all the marbles in, isn't it? Is this the last question?
I say we give you like a chance to prove it or whatever. Yeah. That's a thing, right? All right. In Jackie Brown, King, Sam Jackson's character talks about a gun by saying, when you absolutely positively got to kill everybody in the room, except no substitutes. What kind of gun is he talking about?
Colt 45.
I believe that's an alcohol. Name any gun.
Smith & Wesson.
That is incorrect. Ski, for the steal and the win.
AK-47.
That is correct. Oh, King falls to 0-3.
Hey, I don't do movie stuff.
There'll be no singing in Mudville tonight. All right, so bonus points. Which movie did Tarantino make a cameo in playing a blind preacher named Deacon?
Little Nicky.
That is correct. Ski gets a bonus point. I'm writing it down.
Okay, if I'm going at someone who knows little Adam fucking Sandler Mickey movies. Trivia, what is even the point? If I only watch good, great movies once, you think I'm ever watching a little Nicky
Little Nicky is a good and a great movie.
I refuse to believe that.
Hey, you guys. Which actor starred in Four Rooms? One of his first movies.
Is that Banderas?
He's in a bunch of his movies.
Tim Roth?
Yes. Which classic kung fu movie did Tarantino produce? Starring Donnie Yen.
Classic.
Classic kung fu movie. Yep. So it's not
Eyes of the Dragon.
It's not from like the 60s or the 70s. It's like early 2000s, I want to say.
The Crow.
Late 90s, early 2000s. I'm waiting for you, Ski. Iron Monkey. He produced Iron Monkey. He like helped bring it here, basically. All right, that's it. So Ski moves to 3-0. We should probably make a moratorium on movie trivia.
Yeah.
It's kind of unfair. But all right, so next week we'll come up with some nice 70s, 80s, and 90s Chiefs trivia. And we'll see how you guys do with that. So study up, I guess. You guys,
Hank Stram.
You guys got anything else before we go?
Len Dawson. Wyatt Tittle.
Yeah, keep going.
Bobby Bell.
Wait. Wyatt Tittle was a Chief?
No.
I don't think he was. I was like, hang on. I think he played.
Who knows? He may have been.
Yeah, right.
Right.
He could have been.
Could have been.
Joe Montana.
Chief. He was. Chief legend.
Chiefs legend Joe Montana and Marcus Allen. Chiefs legends. All right. Bye, guys.
Later.